Dikembe Mutombo. That was a little bit, other than he didn't do the accent.
Yes.
Yeah.
Fair.
I met Mutombo in an elevator once while I was playing.
Did you understand him?
He was very polite. We were actually living in the same building over on Allen Parkway for a spread. It was when
recently?
He was there for like 7 months. Well, back in, 2000, whenever.
Okay, so a while ago.
Yeah. He was on with like a bunch of his kids. He was just incredibly polite. His kids were very polite.
I was very impressed
with his kids.
He's trying to put together a group to buy the Rockets.
That was an awful, awful story of an exchange with him. I apologize.
Your chance right now to win passes for the Texans field day. If you can name the Jaguars player who we just talked about in the previous segment, who got himself into all sorts of trouble by smashing glasses on the floor. He had four sacks. He's a pretty well-known player. 713-390-5610. And you are going to the Texans field day August 10th at the Houston Methodist Training Center, plus the VIP experience at NRG Stadium as well, if you can name the Jaguars player who got himself into trouble this week.
That was a... I want to apologize to everybody again for my Dikembe Mutombo story yesterday. Just an awful, horrendous story. I don't know if I'll ever live it down. I think I let everybody down. I let Mike down. I let Landry down. I let, worst of all, Dikembe Mutombo down because I dragged him into my monotony. So I apologize for that, Mr. Mutombo. He was probably off saving children's lives in Africa right now. Dikembe Mutombo right this moment is saving kids' lives in Africa. And I'm just telling boring stories about him over here.
Basically,
way to go, Seth.
The payoff of the story was his kids are nice.
Yeah. I did say that. They were very polite.
Very polite kids.
Yep.
That was the payoff. So one day, if I have kids and they're nice, someone will tell a story about me.
I was inspired by Dikembe Mutombo. How'd you hear this story that inspired you? Seth Payne. Seth Payne affecting lives.
You located this.
By the way, real quick, the worst part of that story was me completely... I was so wrapped up in my boring story that I missed you saying that Dikembe Mutombo is trying to get a group together to buy the Rockets.
That's happening.
That was actually worth talking about. I apologize again to everybody.
By the way, Mark Vandermeer claims that Mad Radio has done a poor collective job of describing the impact of Les Alexander as the owner of the Rockets.
Oh, great. All right. Hey, Vandy, come in at 8 a.m. Listen to Vandy pander. Vandy Pander. That'll make a new segment. It's called Vandering.
Vandering. We're going to figure out why he thinks this in the 8 o'clock hour when Mark joins us at the top
of the
8 o'clock
hour. Unless he's going to come up with an... Is he going to be anti-Les Alexander? Listen at 8 a.m. where Mark Vandermeer takes Les Alexander down a notch or two.
That would surprise me.
Yeah.
So
that would surprise me, except it would... It would make a certain segment of Rockets fans so happy. There's that one small sliver of fans that, and it happens in every single sport in Houston or in any city, where they can't have success in one local team with one local team without comparing it to another local team to make them look worse.
And it's failing.
It was like, but the Texans did this. And all right, great. Okay, great. Why does it have to be this way? I feel like every single one of those people have horrible relationships with their siblings. Like, just can't. Like, they're like the most jealous, vindictive bitches possible when it comes to any success their siblings have. And they always want mommy and daddy to know that they should be the favorite child. That's what I think of you, person that always has to compare local teams.
When their brother graduates from med school or something like that, they basically feel really bad about it inside because they haven't done that.
Yeah. So there is what about if he graduates from med school and you still feel bad about yourself, I feel that's okay. Like, you're like, oh, I wish I measured up to my brother. That's okay. It's when you're like, oh, I hope his whole family hates him and leaves him in the...
You start rooting against
them? That's an unacceptable level of sibling rivalry.
Well, NFL.com did headlines. They predicted 50 headlines, and we wanted to do the AFC South specific ones going through 2017. We begin in September. These are NFL.
These are predicted. These are future NFL headlines from this 2017 season.
Jaguar fans are clamoring for Tom Coughlin after an 0-3 start. Coughlin's inevitable coup in Duval is near after the Jaguars dropped two divisional games in the first two weeks.
Duval.
Jacksonvillians, led by one particular resident with a beach house a couple of minutes from the beach, flood Sports Talk Radio with calls in favor of Coughlin returning to his rightful place on the sidelines. I have a take on this.
Yeah, first of all, to explain that reference, I didn't know what they were talking about at first.
If the Jaguars go 0-3, we might be hearing from some certain people in Jacksonville.
They say they have the best draft in the entire NFL. Are you surprised to hear that?
Certainly not. The first year, we took it to the limit.
And I was in Miami with my new beach house. Well, it was a couple minutes from the beach.
It's been 20 years since then. We haven't been too strong in the last few years.
Oh, we've been strong. We're just playing by the rules. You can't have a newcomer come in and steal a show.
Jag Lady's going to be in all her glory.
If they go in three.
Yeah, because they're going to come talk to her.
Well, here's the thing. Are people in Jacksonville, I mean, Let me finish your sentence and
answer the question. Are they excited about Doug Marrone? Answer, no.
Are they excited about Tom Coughlin returning to the sidelines?
I don't know. I haven't gotten a good gauge on that. Yeah. I think this is the problem in Jacksonville. The media has been so beaten down by years of subpar performances that I feel like they've deluded themselves into trying to look for any glimmer of hope. Then there is, look, Tom Coughlin will bring a level of professionalism back to the organization that's probably, I don't want to say it's been lacking, but it's like nothing achieves the level of Tom Coughlin. You see a lot of these other coaches and wonder whether they could move into the front office role all that well. I really don't worry about it with Tom Coughlin because, like, that is his personality. His strength as a head coach was just in how hard he drove other people. It wasn't necessarily his X's and O's acumen or anything. It was the standards he held the people to. So I think in his role as a front office person, I'd be very, very surprised if he ever, I think he would look at it as a failure if he were to take over the head coaching role. That's not his job anymore. His job is to find the head coach and to motivate the head coach. So for him to take that over, it's just not going to happen.
October headline. Watt, Clowney, and Merciless are wrecking havoc on O-lines. The Texans' healthy front seven is as good as advertised. The Texans are holding opponents to a league low 12.7 points per game through the campaign's first half. Now, if only D.J. Reader could play quarterback.
Probably could. D.J. Reader, hell of an all-around athlete.
Good athlete.
He was throwing in the 90s in high school as a pitcher. So I'm guessing he can throw a football. You gave a skeptical look, Landry. This is documented. He was a freakishly good athlete.
You said yesterday that everybody ran a 4.4 in high school, so I'm saying he threw about 79.
Well, there's radar guns in high school. Yeah, like he had baseball scholarships. He either had baseball scholarships or he just turned them down before he got them.
And he played a little bit of Clemson, right?
Right. As far as the league low 12.7 points per game, I have no doubt that J.J. Watt and Jadeveon Clowney will be wreaking havoc on O-lines. The 12.7 points per game,
pretty high standard.
That would require some help from the offense.
Yeah.
That would require a good rushing attack, like a better rushing attack than they had last year. So I'm not so sure about that. I think they'll have a very good defense, but to be a really great defense, you know, including the Ravens. Like, the Ravens in 2000, when they were so good, they still got some help from the offense. The offense was at least... The Ravens' offense in 2000 was better than the Texans' offense last year. So that's the big asterisk there.
Oh, definitely. It was better. I mean, they had Jamal Lewis. Yeah. That's all you got to say.
They had Trent Dilfer. Dude, I would have given you my left pinky for Trent Dilfer last year. I would have. I would have chopped it off with a cleaver. Somebody was like, I'll give you 2,000 Trent Dilfer. I'm like, take my pinky finger, sir.
November, the Titans run away with the division. Mariota is in the MVP conversation. DeMarco Murray is on pace for 1,500 yards. And for the first time since 2008, the division is Tennessee's to lose. Tennessee beats Indy in week 12, cementing themselves as the class of the division.
Yeah, you know, this is one thing I'd like to see out of Marcus Mariota. Finish a damn season, you know? Hey, by the way, the two biggest underreported stories in the NFL this year, and I think it's because they happen in the AFC South, that Andrew Luck and Marcus Mariota still haven't been cleared 100%. That those guys are just limping around or not involved at all during a lot of the preseason. OTAs can be overstated, but it's not such a guarantee that either of those guys is going to be back and completely healthy by the time the season starts. So if Marcus Mariota makes it through an entire season, then maybe I'll give you a chance.
Mariota was part of OTAs. I don't know if he's been fully cleared. Luck, you're right. Luck may be undercover at this point, and we'll see what happens. This will start to become a bigger story in the next few weeks. November, and they're wrong about this, NFL.com is, the Texans make DeAndre Hopkins the highest paid receiver with a 4-year deal worth $70 million. Nuke finally gets the extension that he deserves.
Yeah.
The Texans do not give out contracts in November.
Yeah, that was dumb. I cut them a break here. Like, everybody, every national writer doesn't know the way each front office team operates. This is why I would...
That's fair.
I would live in constant fear every day of writing about the entire NFL, like, and having to do that, because there's all these little things where as soon as you do it, the local fan base jumps on you. It's like, Texans, don't renegotiate.
Honestly, you would have to have sources or at least people in the media who you trust. I would they'll basically have to call and be like, hey, does this sound normal to you?
Yeah.
Does this sound like something that might actually happen?
Let me look, though. But, okay, because as of June 7th, he hadn't been. He was cleared for full participation during OTAs?
I'm not sure about full. I'm saying
he
was
did
part
participate,
of
the, but he wasn't. Unless I missed something, I don't think he was ever cleared for full participation.
No, I think you're right.
Okay.
Yes, I just wanted to clarify and say that he was part of the drills and he was on the field and all that stuff. All right,
Mark. I wanted to clarify a statement which I had actually accurately said.
You had accurately. But gotcha. I just wanted, but if people were listening and they were like, hey, was Mariota out of OTAs altogether?
I gotcha.
Yeah. 745.
He's further along than Luck was.
745. We wanted to play a portion of our, we're going to do this over the next few days. People liked our Bill O'Brien interview, which we appreciate. We're going to, in advance of training camp, in the days leading up until Wednesday, play the absolute best parts of Bill O'Brien, which are still relevant because nothing tangibly has happened since we talked to Bill O'Brien a few weeks ago. One angle of this Correa injury is that other guys need to step up, and I thought yesterday's game was kind of a microcosm of some guys who didn't, and there might start to become more of a microscope on some guys on this baseball team. That's next, Matt Radio.